Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. There's a good chance you've read one of Taffy Burdessa Akner's memorable New York Times profiles, perceptive pieces about superstars like Gwyneth Paltrow and Bradley Cooper, and fallen stars like Tonya Harding, pieces that take a look at the subject in the context of the culture while telling their story. This makes sense when you know that Taffy did not study journalism, she studied screenwriting. All her skills are on display in her much-anticipated debut novel, Fleischman is in Trouble, a funny and incisive look about modern marriage and divorce and how messy lives can get. Her new book is out today, and Taffy will be at Books or Magic in Brooklyn tonight and tomorrow at the Words Bookstore, at Words Bookstore in Maplewood, New Jersey. Both awesome stores to go to, Taffy.
They are amazing. I'm so happy that they're hosting me.
That's such a good... Well, congratulations. Pub Day. This is big.
Thank you, and thank you for having me today.
So this novel about a couple on the verge of divorce and their friendship circles and all the cultural pressures around their lives, is this something you've been thinking about for a while?
Maybe, because it just kind of came out so quickly, but it came to me almost in a flash when a bunch of my friends, when I turned 40, started telling me they were getting divorced. And I wanted to do a magazine story about it. I thought it would be a great GQ story, especially about the way they were dating now. And my editor said, I understand the impetus for it, that like when back in the 90s, you know, when we were all dating, you had to show up in your disgusting human form. You had to actually look people in the eye. You had to actually make contact and try not to look too needy, and then, but look needy enough and look engaging enough, but also very off-putting. I remember that it was a very hard balance. And now you could just date through these amazing apps, which are not always amazing, but they are amazing. And you could be at home while you're getting a date. Like, it was just amazing to me. And my friends who were getting divorced could not believe the wonderland of it. And that's what I wanted to write. And my GQ editor just said, you know what? None of our readers will understand that. They've been app dating since the beginning. They don't even understand what you're talking about. Like, are you talking about going to a sock hop? Are you talking about going to like a singles event at the 92nd Street Y for people over 40? Like, and at that moment, instead of pitching it elsewhere, I just sat down and started writing it. And while I thought it was a novel about dating, it turned out to be a novel about marriage. And then when it turned into a novel about divorce, I realized I had been thinking about it for a very long time because my parents were divorced. There's a lot of divorce in my family. And I suddenly had all sorts of thoughts and wisdom-ish on it, or things that I wanted to say.
We also had learned experience. You had your life. You had things you could draw on. And then you could also use your creative brain to create these characters.
Right. I could make things up. Like, do you know what that was like for me to not be beholden to a person who was going to yell?
Fact checker? What fact checker?
I know. To yell at me during fact checking, to like the rigors of accuracy. Like, to not do that was, I had bodily pleasure not having to think about the people who were going to be angry when I published it.
So your main character, Toby Fleischman, who is he?
He is a doctor in New York City on the Upper East Side who makes a very, very good living, except that his very good living is no longer considered a good living by the finance people around him. He is surrounded by finance bros and their marriages. And I was going to say, it's finance bro, and is that an epithet? Like, are you allowed to say finance bro on the air?
I think it's okay.
And he's surrounded by all of these people who very, very badly don't understand why you would go into medicine if you wanted this kind of lifestyle. Whereas he remembers going into medicine and thinking this was the best career to possibly be in. And he wants to heal his patients. He also is somebody who has recently separated, was shown the apps by his residents, and is now in demand sexually in a way that he could not have imagined he would be.
I would have thought you were making this up if I didn't have a friend who this happened to. It's the very same age.
Yeah.
I, be, It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. Right. It's crazy that just it's sex on demand.
Right. It's like Uber for it's as discriminating as Uber.
There's more like Postmates because it comes to your house.
Like, it comes to your house. And if it has a good rating, why wouldn't you try it? Right.
And he's just into it. You know, it becomes sort of an obsession. It's the first thing in the morning. It's mm-hmm. And it's past, you know, in the 90s, it was Match and this, and I used to call it boyfriend shopping.
Right.
It's past this because it is all available to him. And part of his story is that he was a fat kid.
He was a fat kid.
And he's short.
Yes.
And he doesn't really feel worthy.
Right. Except now he's starting to wonder, was it that he wasn't worthy, or that he thought he wasn't worthy and he projected a lack of worthiness? Because right now, when the book opens, it is very hard to convince him that he is not worthy because of the amount of sexual exploits he has lined up for the week.
My guess is Taffy Bredesen Akner. We're talking about her debut novel, Fleischman Is in Trouble. Fleischman's wife, Rachel, high power, super agent is it like a female Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Maybe.
Is that what we're thinking?
I don't know. Is that what you think?
That's what I thought. And she's just a go-getter, and we learn a lot more about her in the book. I don't want to give too much away because Toby might not be the Fleischman that's in trouble. A lot of Fleischmans are in trouble.
That's a comment.
And it was interesting, the relationship that you created with the two of them, because at first she does not seem that likable. Mm-hmm. But you discover that, as with all your characters, their histories they're so important to who they've become and the way they behave and the way they act. What did you want to explore about people and their histories?
That's such a good question. I always think that the idea of people who are hung up on the things that happened in their childhood, we dismiss it so much, as if a thing happens when you graduate from high school or when you graduate from college that makes you into a different person who doesn't carry the scars of your youth. There's some trauma in this book, and a lot of what plays out over the course of the few weeks where the book takes place is a kind of reenactment of trauma. I think that we are all constantly living in reaction to the thing that we were. I had a book party last night, and it was well attended, and all I could think of was my fifth grade birthday party where only two people showed up. Hello, New York City. I think that it's very freeing to mm-hmm. stop pretending that you are above the thing that happened to you, or you are above the things that rose to the top of what happened to you.
Yeah, it's. I didn't catch it until the third time in the book, is that the way Toby orders food. Because he orders, you know, boiled chicken on a lettuce leaf.
Like, everything he orders is reduced down to just chicken. And his friends make fun of him. And is there any diet water here? Is there any diet lettuce?
Because he's just carrying those scars from being a chubby kid.
Yeah. He is so, like, being short was not in his control. But he can keep the rest of it in control.
Now, our narrator is Libby mm-hmm. Slater. A mom, a writer for a women's magazine, men's magazine, living in Jersey with her family and trying to deal with all that is.
Right.
Why is she the narrator?
Because I feel like one of the skills I have as a journalist is that I'm good at watching the information play out and metabolizing it. And at first, the first draft of this, it was a third person book. But then someone who read it came in and said, why is this person third person when it's clearly the same I that appears in your stories, which is not mm-hmm. necessarily, you know, a full throttled me, but it's the me that needs to be necessary in order to process the information that I've been presented with. And I thought that was valuable for her. And I thought it was valuable for her to have just recently hung up all her ambition after failing at a men's magazine, after feeling like she had gone as far as she could and realizing she has a nice life and she should just try to yield to it the way all these other mothers around her had been able to yield to it. Why can't she just relax?
And I wonder, because you're a journalist, Is Libby, does she get to be your stand-in?
I mean...
Do you mean that she allows you to sort of cuddle up to the narrator of this book?
I mean, I worked at GQ for a long time. I live in New Jersey. I have two children. You're allowed to make, I very purposefully, the bio that accompanies the book on the back flap is only information that matches up. I allow people to interpret that as they will. But I think in doing that, I almost feel like it's a trick so that people might think I relate more to the narrator than I do to the wife in the book, mm-hmm. which is like a different question, right? Like the amount of women who have come to me and said, I behave just like Rachel. I had to put the book down in the middle for a few minutes because it was forcing me to think about these things. And you think about marriage in general, how mm-hmm. when you look back at your interactions, they're forgivable in the context of what is being classified and marketed as a happy marriage. But later, if things go wrong, will these things also be unforgivable? Maybe.
It's interesting you should say that, because one of my questions here, and it was for later, but I'll ask it now, is there something about this particular age that you wanted to, that you think is really ripe for exploration?
You mean the 40s, the early 40s? You know, my mother always says, if you could just get to 50, you'll be fine. That like if you could weather whatever comes at your marriage and your self-esteem and yourself until you're 50, then some sort of grand mellowing will begin. It shows no signs for me, so I don't know if that's true yet. I'm 43. But I do think that we fetishize the 33-year-old woman. Like every screenplay is about, like, you know, it's always Kate, early 30s. And I think about who I was in my early 30s, and you should not have made a movie about who I was in my early 30s. I wish I could take my early 30s body and hair and skin out for a ride in my early 40s, because that seems like it would have been amazing.
My guest is Taffy Bredesen Ackner. Her new novel is Fleischman Is in Trouble. Today is its pub date. You know, I was curious. It's funny that you said people come up and talk to you, because I recognized every character in this book. I have either been to my kid's school meeting with every character in this book, or had that same feeling of, you know, being in a certain group of people and thinking like, how is it that I'm like the lowest earner in this room?
I'm a successful person.
And I think I'm doing fantastic.
You're very successful. That might be a thing confined to journalism.
Maybe.
That, like, you could be very successful and still completely broke in this business. It's pretty amazing.
Have you gotten any feedback from anyone who thinks they're that character?
Yes.
People in your life?
From a lot of people. There are several people I don't know who have written to me and said, is there any chance that you are acquainted with person? Because at first I didn't know what that question was. And now I understand that people are trying to locate the couple of this book. And I can say this. I can say that I went to a yeshiva, and the kind of most everyman I could give you is a short Jewish doctor on the Upper East Side. Like, the least specific person I have for you is that. But there are several people. There are people who have interviewed me, and then after the interview is over, have asked if it was about them. And I'm not kidding. Like, that has happened.
Wow.
And I guess that's a sign that either A, I'm about to get sued by several people, or B, that I did it right.
I think you did it right, because there are lines in the book that just get right at certain moments of certain people's lives, and this is one of them. This is the one I sort of had this moment, and it's Libby,
mm-hmm.
who is Toby's friend, who's kind of trying to figure out her life now that she's not writing, but she considers herself somebody who works outside the home. And what does that actually mean? Is that an insult to people who don't,
right.
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We all have been there. She says, back when I had a job, no one ever said to me, having an actual job and being a mother is the hardest job there is.
Right. everyone says being a mother is the hardest job there is, but it's actually not true, because even I work very hard, but I'm also still a mother. So what does that make me? What is the politeness with which we're tiptoeing around women who don't have jobs, which is very dismissive of them. It is a sign that we feel bad for them. It's the same way when I hear a man call his wife the boss. All I could think is like, oh, she's not the boss. You know, like they would never call her the boss if she was the boss.
So true. How did you find time to write this?
I didn't. I suffered great neglect to my social life, my cardiovascular health, and to my children and husband. I am a very fast writer, and I wrote it as a kind of, in moments of defiance. I had a Word document that was up on my computer for a literal 6 months, and sometimes it would get a sentence, and sometimes it would get a paragraph, and sometimes it would get 10 pages on an airplane flight or while I was waiting for a celebrity to show up who thought that we were interviewing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's how it got done, and I was very lucky afterward to have I handed in a first draft. The thing that sold was definitely not a ready for primetime first draft. And I had an editor who had a lot of faith in me.
Are you going to go back to your great day job of doing profiles?
Yes. In fact, I cannot wait to do it. I can't wait to stop talking about myself. I can't wait to be a normal person. In fact, my book leave started officially yesterday. My book promotion leave, which is just called a vacation because it wasn't a real book leave. But in the 4 days leading up to it, I was in Atlantic City on a story, and I called my editor and I said, it's the best thing in the world for me to just be sitting here and doing the thing that I know how to do and the thing that I love so much. Because in journalism, you don't ever go on this strange victory lap of, look, I wrote a story, because you do it all the time.
Right.
You just publish it and it either works or it doesn't. But I love my job.
One of my favorite profiles that you've done, which I think it should be in journalism classes, is your one of Bradley Cooper.
Thank you.
And for people who haven't read it, after the show is over, go Google it, is that it was very interesting because he didn't want to engage in what usually goes on in a profile.
Right.
But he was at the same time very proud of the work he'd done.
Yeah.
It was for A Star Is Born.
Yes.
And the back and forth, the negotiation between you two and you being so transparent about it, because you could have written around it.
But then it would have been a terrible story, and I won't write a terrible story. Like, it's not his job to write a great story. Mm-hmm. And I think too many stories hinge on the content you're given. It's my job to write a good story. So I wasn't having that particular thing. But he did agree to show up and participate in a profile. And I think on some level, I mean, I've read some of the press afterward. I didn't let you ask a question. I'm sorry. I just started talking.
Go for it.
But he did participate. He just didn't understand why anyone should care where it all came from. And the point of that story is to explain why we care. And when people now, by the way, are asking me, this character who resembles you, and I see the way you tiptoed around that question, which is such an obvious question to me. And I've been in interviews mm-hmm. with authors where they're offended by that question. And I think, why isn't it anything but wonderful when people are moved by your art and want to know where it came from? That's why celebrity profiles exist. It's not because we're obsessed with celebrities. It's because we are lonely people looking for somebody who has expressed in the world something that touches us and makes us feel less alone. And I think he is a very talented person who was mm-hmm. born in a different, in the wrong time. He should have been a 1970s, like, Pacino who refuses to give an interview. But I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore if you're making a movie. I think that you have an obligation. And he was also the artist behind the movie, not just mm-hmm. the star of it. He was the director. So he had an obligation to market the movie.
I just love the transparency of going back and forth with it and you explaining this to him and then him explaining his point of view. It was just, I thought it was really fascinating. I was like, this is as good as anything I would read about him and his creative process.
Thank you. I thought it said everything you needed to know.
Yeah, it really, really did. Who's your next big profile? Can you tell us?
I'm not allowed to tell you, but it's someone good.
Someone good. Who would you like to profile?
So Gwyneth Paltrow was my white whale for a very, very, very long time. And we're coming on a year now since that story. And I have been bereft of a white whale since then. Although there are certain people, I would love to do a Melania Trump profile. I think we would get along. I think we could really have a good time, me and Mrs. Trump. And other than that, the other people who I'm trying to get, and I don't want to tip anyone off.
Well, now that you said Melania, it's out in the universe.
Good luck to me. R.I.P. my mentions.
My guest has been Taffy Bredesen Akner. The name of her new book is Fleischman Is in Trouble. You'll be at Books Are Magic tonight and Words in Maplewood, New Jersey tomorrow night. Thank you so much for coming in studio.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Coming up next, the director of Wig, a New York drag story, plus Lady Bunny. More after the break.